Hello and welcome to Plot Trysts.
This is Lane.
This is Meg.
And today we're reviewing The Stranger I Wed by Harper St. George.
This was just published in 2024 and is the first book in the Doves of New York series. Do note that it is a related series to the Gilded Age Heiresses series. There are many recurring characters. What do you think, Lane? Could you read this without having read that series?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, you're definitely going to know you're missing out on context, especially with Camille and Mr. Thorne.
Mm-hmm.
But how they got together isn't relevant to the plot.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would have been totally fine with it, but I always have to check myself.
Yeah. I think there's where you miss the most is with some of the suffragette stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think anyone who's even passingly familiar with history will be okay.
All right.
Full disclosure, we did receive a complimentary ARC for this review.
We did indeed. So thank you, Berkeley. All right. Shall we read the book jacket?
Go for it.
Cora Dove and her sister's questionable legitimacy has been the lifelong subject of New York's gossipmongers and a continual strain on their father's reputation. So when the girls each receive a generous, guilt-induced dowry from their dying grandmother, the sly Mr. Hathaway vows to release their funds only if Cora and her sisters can procure suitable husbands, far from New York. For Cora, England is a fresh start. She has no delusions of love, but a husband who will respect her independence? That's an earl worth fighting for.
Enter Leopold Brendan, Earl of Devonworth, a no-nonsense member of Parliament whose plan to pass a public health bill that would provide clean water to the working class requires the backing of a wealthy wife. He just never expected to crave Cora's touch or yearn to hear her thoughts on his campaign. Or to discover that his seemingly perfect bride protects so many secrets.
But secrets have a way of bubbling to the surface, and Devonworth has a few of his own. With their pasts laid bare and Cora's budding passion for women's rights taking a dangerous turn, they'll learn the true cost of losing their heart to a stranger.
And that love is worth any price. There are some long-ass sentences in this book jacket.
The biggest issue to me is that in the very first paragraph, it talks about the father of reputation, blah, blah, blah. Then we got the sly Mr. Hathaway. And you're like, okay, who is that? Like, if you don't know that the sly Mr. Hathaway is her father.
Right.
Like, it's a little confusing.
And then second point, he is absolutely not marrying because of his bill in Parliament.
He's marrying because he needs money.
Right. Like, this is a mercenary marriage.
That doesn't bother me as much because I think we need to get his, like, we need to know that he's a progressive guy anyway, and so, like, he needs a wealthy wife regardless.
Right. But that the marriage is unrelated to that. That's part of the reason they're so compatible.
Yes. Yes. But other than, like, honestly, I think it's fine because you get the gist of the book. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to, like, slam it. As usual, we generated a random number between 1 and 50 and then wrote our own summaries based on that number. So I can go ahead and start my 30-word summary. Since Devonworth can't marry the woman he loves, he's fine with a marriage of convenience. Inconveniently, the more he gets to know his wife, the more he really likes her.
You and I get at similar things in our summary, and I think it's hilarious because it is the entirety of the marriage of convenient trope.
Yes, it really is.
I think
is.
We use this formula every time we write summaries for marriage of convenience books. Mine is, a mutual marriage of convenience is ruined by mutually developing feelings. Is Leo the most progressive earl ever? Maybe, but he's willing to compromise his morals for his wife's reputation.
Yeah. That's a yes. Yes, indeed. I have thoughts about this, in fact.
Me too. I really liked this book.
Uh-huh.
Until the last 20%.
Okay.
And I didn't come away hating it. Like, don't get me wrong, I still think it was a good time. I'd still say I overall liked this book. But the way certain plot threads were wrapped up, I didn't like disagree with anything, but I thought almost everything could have used more context.
Okay.
With one exception that I thought was out of the blue and weird and unnecessary.
Okay. I want to talk about it because this is one of the things I liked a lot about the book. Not the last 25%, but the way politics were handled.
That I agree with.
Yeah.
It's honestly, it just felt like some of the ending was rushed.
Yeah.
Not that like it wasn't the right series of events.
Okay.
But what happened to get from one scene to another, I would have wanted a scene in the middle.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. We've talked about that in other books we actually have really liked as well. So
yeah, like so that's where I'm saying, with one exception, I liked almost everything this book did. There are just certain moments where I could have used a little more meat.
I mean, in general, a book that leaves you wanting more is a book that you like, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So tropes. Did you guys catch this is a marriage of convenience?
Yeah. There's a lot of tropes here that all tie around that marriage of convenience, though. Yes. She's an American heiress.
Yes.
Except instead of, she's not like title hunting because of some illusions of grandeur, but because the stipulation her father has put on her inheritance is that it be used as a dowry to a man he approves of, and he's agreed that a titled man would do.
Yep.
He needs money, as we've discovered, for a degenerate brother and a falling apart estate because of a father who didn't love him, mismanaging said estate. Like, I'm just plowing through all of these tropes. Mm-hmm. She is doing all of this for her sisters.
Mm-hmm.
His mother is the ice lady of society with a secret of her own.
Yes. I don't know. They have a meet cute on like the sports ball field.
Yeah, they have a meet cute playing sports ball. There's a late night in the kitchen with them both in states of undress. Like that really is a turning moment in their like friendship.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a tropey book, but I liked all the ways tropes were deployed.
Yeah, yep, I did too. Okay, let's talk about the book, because I, in general, I really liked this one a lot.
Yeah.
First of all, I really liked that this is a book. It is using this current historical romance, like, feature where there are a lot of, like, real politics that are talked about. There are a lot of feminist politics that are discussed. But it didn't feel like sanctimonious to me.
Agree completely. And it also didn't feel expository.
Yes.
With the exception of the letter to the editor.
Yeah.
That was the one moment where it dripped into, all right, you just want a place to write out the details of this politic.
Yeah. But it was, to be completely honest, if you're going to have it in there, that was the right device to use it.
Right.
You know, like I have read other books. I'm not going to name names here, although I would love to, but I have read other books that like are like, oh, listen to this. I did all this research on the Married Women's Property Act, and I'm going to lay it all out here for you. And it verges into like, I'm better than other historical romance authors because I put history in my books.
Right.
And I did not feel that way here, but
agreed.
You still get that history and you still get those progressive politics in a way that felt historically accurate.
Completely agree.
So I really liked it.
I also really liked that even though they were both very progressive, they disagreed on a lot of how to go about advocating for their policies and had different passion projects.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
It would have been so easy to have his big thing be the Women's Public Health, Women Marriage Equality Act rather than the Public Health Bill.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was great that even though they supported each other and agreed with each other, they had different like areas of focus.
Yes, I loved it. I really liked it. And I also appreciated the parts where, so, you know, for example, he tells her not to go to a protest. She goes to the protest anyway. And again, this comes down to Lane talking about like what you just said about how they disagree on how to go about
mm-hmm.
effecting change. And so she's like, no, I need to go to the demonstration. And he's like, well, the last time there was a demonstration, like, women were assaulted. I don't want you to do that. And anyway, I thought it worked really well without turning into like a very macho, I need to protect you feel. Although there is an aspect of that.
Yeah, it's funny. I make a joke in my summary that he's the most progressive Earl ever. But in reality, he's got a really high level of emotional intelligence overall for somebody with the Ice Prince reputation that he's got. Like, it was almost incongruous, except it was for the better, in my opinion.
Yep.
Like, it for sure somebody was. Raised the way he was, he is very emotionally adept.
You know what? I don't care.
Yeah, no, that's just cool. Give me a hero with fewer problems. I also want to state that it was really fun to have the, like, women's lib and progressive politics really center in the text without any allusions to abusive marriages or sexual assault.
Yes.
I mean, I've liked almost all the Harper St. George's we've read, but some of them, her writing style, I don't think lends itself well to really dark themes.
Yeah.
I think it can lend itself well to serious themes.
Yes.
I want to be clear. But the fact that she took on the serious without delving it into darkness here really made it work better for me than her previous books.
I really liked it. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about demisexuality.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Let's do it. So our hero in this book is demisexual. It's not referred to that way because that's not historically what you would have said. Basically, he's just like, I am not really attracted to people unless I know them. He even talks about how, like, he like went out and, you know, did some raking with his friends. And he was like, this is not very fun. I don't like this. And so he's like, so I didn't do it. And I was like, thank you. I don't know. I just really liked that he wasn't like interrogating himself.
Harper St. George walked a really fine line here with him both being relatively disinterested in sex as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And having this secret past love affair that's still kind of weighing on him.
Yep.
And I think it also served to explain why this love affair, in a lot of ways, that even the way it's presented in the text, was a pretty insignificant time period in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was fucking around with a neighbor girl, and then she married somebody else.
Yep.
But when you realize how limited his experience is because he wants it that way.
Right.
You understand even more why her being without it needing to be some massive dark secret.
Exactly. Exactly. And it wasn't like, yes, he was in love with this other woman. Right.
Right. Well, or so he thought at the time.
I mean, that's what everyone thinks, you know, like,
right.
What's the difference between being in love or thinking you're in love? They're the same.
I mean, I think yeah, I think what I'm dancing around more is just how young he was.
Yes. That's fair.
Yeah.
But it also made so much sense because when she proposes the marriage of convenience, she's like, look, I want to get married to you because we both want my money. Basically, like, I can't access my funds until I get married. And I don't mind if you use my funds too, right?
Right. Like, basically, my goal is to find a marriage that will enable me to gain my independence afterward, either through divorce or a settlement.
Yep. And she's like, so that means I really don't want to consummate the marriage. And he's like, okay. He's like, that's fine.
He's like, all right, well, then we need to talk about timelines because I can't not have an heir.
Yeah. He's like, I can't not have an heir. But he's also not like, I also just really appreciated this because in so many other marriage of convenience books, the marriage of convenience is used as an excuse to get the sexy times moved up in the text, which is fair. I will not complain.
And which I generally like.
I was going to say, to be clear, I have no problems with this usually. But I really liked that there was no element of him thinking, oh, well, I need to seduce her or whatever, because that is a part of a lot of marriage of convenience books.
Right.
Right. Like, they try to negotiate. They negotiate 6 years, 6 months, 3 weeks, whatever, they negotiate a time period just the way it's done here, but then they move up the time period.
Right.
Most of the time.
Right.
And it's a lot of the time it's because he just can't. He just can't resist her and he needs to seduce her. But he's like super not doing that here. And I kind of loved it.
I liked just how transparent they both were at the beginning of the marriage. And it's hilarious because there are secrets they're both keeping from each other. Not really from the reader.
Yes.
With a couple of exceptions. But I was really afraid, given that he, you know, his introduction as a character, he's really stewing on this woman who he thought he knew and then betrayed him. And given that she like drops a bomb on her sister's 10% in where she's like, my plan is to get married and then get divorced. I was really afraid that the conflict was going to be, he like found her journal that had her plans to leave him. And he was like, oh, and the second that during the marriage negotiations, and this is within the first fifth of the book, she's like, this is my exact situation in terms of like my goals for this marriage. And I knew that wouldn't be the conflict. And I was so excited.
Yes. Yes. I thought she did. Harper St. George did such a good job of avoiding these obvious conflicts.
Yeah. Ultimately,
in a really cool way.
We've said this about a couple of different romance novels, but it's excellent. So I don't care when it's common. This book is really more about them recognizing that they should get to know each other before actually executing any of the plans that they formed when the other person was just an idea of who they would like to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm fine when there are minor misunderstandings because these people are basically strangers.
Well, hence the title of the book.
No, but like just in general, marriages of convenience, 90% of the time, they aren't like the childhood friend you're marrying out of a pact. And because then it's childhood friends to lovers. Like marriage of convenience, I think, is great in two ways. One, it's often early sex, but two, it's a way to kind of justify the communication failures in a way that don't make me want to pull my hair out.
Yes. And the communication failures here, it's like not even communication failures because they actually communicate very well.
Right. But there are like half days.
Yeah. Right. But again, it doesn't form the entirety of the conflict, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. Loved it. So in those previous books, it is called The Gilded Age Heiresses, and all four of the heroines of those books are rich and have been raised in wealth and privilege. And in this book, Harper St. George does an interesting thing. I'm not going to say that neither of the main characters are raised in privilege because they both were privileged in different ways, right? I mean, he's an earl. He sits in parliament. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, he's poor. Like he's impoverished for an earl.
Right.
But he does need this money. And Cora was raised, again, there were some privileges. It doesn't seem like she, you know, they never went hungry. Her mother didn't have to work.
She's never worked.
Yeah, she's never worked. None of them have worked. But she wasn't raised. She's not an heiress of New York.
Right.
So she's not a debutante. She didn't come out. Since she and her family were the illegitimate family of a rich New York socialite, or I don't even know how you call those people. Industrialist?
Mogul, industrialist, robber baron.
Yeah. Because they were the second family, they were basically ignored. He paid them an allowance, but that was it. Mm-hmm. And so this is what makes the book a little bit different. Is that, you know, when they come over, when they come from New York to London, she splurges on doing first class. She's like, because no one can find out that's the secret. But then, or no one can find out that we are not the actual legitimate daughters of a wealthy man. And then when they get to London, they take a train somewhere and Devonworth gets a first class ticket. And she's like, oh, wow, like I've never taken a first class train before. And he's like, that's interesting.
Right.
I just want to mention that very briefly because I did think it was a unique part of the text.
Well, I think that segues into content warnings.
Yeah.
Because I think the treatment that Cora and her family receive from her father.
Yes.
Will never overt in the way it's on the page. Like, she spent years being his dirty little secret.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And her family's been his dirty little secret. And so I think, you know, the absence, like, just what a shitty person her dad is.
Right.
I think deserves a little bit of mention here.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, honestly the biggest content warning. I mean, so Devonworth goes into the bad side of town to pay off a loan shark. And there is a prostitute who's been beaten by her John.
Yep.
So that appears there.
I'd throw that into the category of realistic depictions of the life of women.
Honestly, yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, Harper St. George is going to delve into progressive politics of the era, which means exposing just how awful this era that we glamorize was for the vast majority of people.
Yep.
And so, like, if you aren't here for that, you probably don't like Harper St. George.
Yeah. I mean, also the reason why I just spent, like, half of what I was, you know, I was going to say, oh, they're both of them are impoverished. And I was like, but impoverished, like, not really impoverished. Okay.
But they're both like what's it called when you're titled but poor? There's a specific, like, term for it.
House poor?
No, because that's when you buy a big house.
When you buy a house.
That's where all your money goes. Anyway, but yeah, they're both. They have reputations, but no money.
Yep. Yep. That's it. I mean, that's what it is, for sure. Okay. Sexiness. Let's talk about sexiness. Like I said, he's demisexual, and they agree not to consummate the marriage basically. Like,
right.
They don't have a time limit. They're just like, in 2 years, we will renegotiate. If there's an issue, right?
Right.
Because of that, this is a slow burn. However, when they do finally get together, it's very hot.
And I bought the chemistry.
Uh-huh.
And I will always be glad when there needs to be a slow burn. So there is a voyeuristic solo sesh.
Why is this so sexy line? We've talked about this before. I don't know why, but it is so hot.
It's very well deployed here.
Yes, it is. I was like, oh my God, Harper St. George, yes.
I will say the sexiness for some people, this does not bother me, but I know some people don't like the, I don't want this and I know I don't want this, but I'm thinking with my dick for 5 seconds and then immediate freak out after.
Oh, yeah.
That a lot of the earlier encounters are that here.
Yeah.
Because he's freaking out about how clear she's made it that she doesn't want this to last.
Right.
And so he's doing a lot of, I want her, I want this, but I don't want this if she's, like, already planning on leaving me.
Right, right.
And so there's a lot of that type of angst, but because it was driven by a place he was so coherent about, it bothered me way less than it usually would.
Yep, same for me. The first time they get together, it's on a window seat, and it is, like, so hot.
Also, yes.
Oh, my God. I was not expecting. Like, I know that Harper St. George can write sexy scenes. Like, I know this.
Yes.
But that one in particular was very sexy.
Yep. Like, the sexiness here was deployed very well. And I found it hilarious because after the first penetrative sex scene, there's a, like, little sentence at the beginning of the next paragraph where they're like, the physical intimacy was really representative of the emotional intimacy they had gained. And I was like, LOL, yes, that is the point. And it usually is allowed to go unsaid.
It's okay. I didn't mind.
I'm never going to mind an author taking one sentence to be like, LOL, did you catch it?
Did you get it? Did you get it, guys? Also, contraception is deployed and is very clearly used. I don't know.
Yep.
That was good. Liked it. Well done.
All right. So as you can tell, we liked this book.
Liked it a lot.
We're going to spoiler tag now, just so I'm going to be honest. I'm real hopped up on Benadryl, and I don't trust myself to talk about any of these niche things without spilling a detail.
You know, Benadryl is a great reason for a spoiler tag. So,
yeah, but this is a spoiler tag because Lane took Benadryl.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Stick around if you've read the book.
Yeah, I'm not doing the tags enough. Okay. So the one thing that I straight up did not want in this book at all was her attempted abduction at the very end.
Oh, that's so funny because I was like totally fine with it.
I just don't. This is one of those, like, I could not suspend my disbelief. I cannot believe that an Earl who went to a bad part of town to pay off his brother's gambling debts would then become enough of a target to this petty criminal to have the petty criminal hunt down his wife and attack her in broad daylight.
Honestly, for me, I was like, I would rather have a kidnapping than them have a big argument about politics.
Agreed. But given that he had a political rival who was already shown to be unscrupulous, I just, like, if you want to have an attempted kidnapping, have that guy do it.
Have him hire the guy to do it. And he's like, oh yeah, that guy for sure.
Right. Like, I just, there was already enough, I think, conflict that wasn't between the two of them, that bringing out this, like, guy who definitely would not risk his neck to attack a countess in broad daylight.
Yeah. I didn't care.
Yeah, it was just one of those, like, okay, this would never happen, moving on.
I didn't care. I thought that the ending was so, like, complex in a really good way. Not the kidnapping part, but...
Right. No, the rest of it, I agree with you. The kidnapping part is the one part I would have trashed. Or had a different perpetrator.
Okay, different perpetrator, I will agree with you with, because the rest of it, though, I don't love a kidnapping. I really like that it was, like, mutually foiled by them. Like,
yes.
On the one hand, he, like, comes to rescue her, but also she's like, I can also help in this rescue mission. Like, they get away because she helps.
A different perpetrator. It's not the kidnapping scene that bothered me. It was the who did it and why.
Yeah. That's fine. I don't disagree with you there. I think it just mattered less to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was like, to be completely honest, because I was expecting the political disagreement to drag on.
Fair.
And I was about to be like, oh my God, like, I was enjoying this book and then the whole ending was this, but no, it was kidnapping instead. So I was like, okay, that's fine.
I mean, I really liked the ending plot twist is that on the day of the vote for the Women's Marriage Property Act, somebody blackmails him into voting against it with something from Cora's past.
Yes.
Because it's so last minute, Leo feels like he has no choice but to vote against it so that this guy cannot bring Cora's secrets to the press.
But also, what I also really liked was that he was like, it was going to fail anyway, regardless of my vote.
Yes.
Because I feel like if he was the deciding vote, he would have been like,
What would she want more? And, like, actually had had moral qualms about it. But given that it was doomed to fail, he might as well save her reputation.
Exactly. And I agree that she also understood that after he explained it.
I completely agree. I just thought the ending reveal was a little bit rushed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's pretty much my only quibble with, like, the way it played out. I loved the moral reasons. I liked the logic they both applied to the situation. I just think it got very... Words are hard when you're drugged up. I think I would have wanted them to talk through a little bit more at the end of the politics.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which, again, I'm saying it left me wanting more.
Yeah. I mean, the reason you wanted it is because she was doing such a good job with it.
Right. Like, for a book that put, again, a full, like, 4-page letter to the editor from the perspective of, like, the 1880s equivalent of a men's rights activist.
Yes. Yeah.
the fact that the actual politics that they were both pursuing in the last couple of pages weren't actually fully fleshed out. Yeah. Felt a little bit like of a missed opportunity.
Yeah. I will also tell you that I love the setups Harbor St. George is putting in there for her sisters. Like, I'm very excited about both of them, actually.
Yep.
So I'm like,
I'll be very excited to see if what extent Leo is able to influence the sisters' choices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This was a very fun first entry in a trilogy. I love when you see where it's going and you're excited about it.
Well, I'm also like trash for a lot of the things we've discussed here, but I'm particularly trash for husband is in parliament and wife is a political writer.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just loved the scenes of them like working on his speeches together. It's a really like hits me in all the right spots book.
It's so good. It's so good. Okay, Lane, you want to know the book that it reminded me of? You're going to die. The one with Giles Chillingworth, because remember Francesca would help him with his research?
Yes. That's hilarious.
Yes. Like, this book is a million times better when it comes to the politics.
Yes.
Right? But I was thinking of that book, and it did kind of crack me up, because I was like, these books were like very different romance novels.
But it's a trope.
Yep.
And
yep.
It's employed differently, and that's how tropes work.
That's how they work. Anyway, I thought this one was fun. I really enjoyed it. Honestly, Harper St. George is really knocking it out of the park with her books lately, so.
Agree. We'll definitely be checking out the next one.
Yep. Thank you guys so much for listening.
And for sticking with us through the spoiler tag.